Good morning and God bless you. It's Sunday service at Nations Harvest. This is the day that the Lord has made and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I am glad that you have chose today to come and to be a part of this worship experience. For those of you that are here today that are streaming live with us on this day that the Lord have made, it's wonderful for us to be together. I count it a joy, and it is indeed a privilege to be here with you, to share, for us to all taste of this great goodness that God has made for all of us. You ought to shout today, lift up your holy hands and say, Lord, I thank you for another day. God, I thank you for another blessed day. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to share in this moment, the very first day of the week, with my brothers and my sisters as we share in your word, that we have gathered together in this single place because you said that the day would come that they that worship you would not worship you in some specificity of location or geography. But God, you said that they that worship you would worship you in spirit and in truth. And we're grateful because we're given that opportunity, Lord, together in this fashion, in this way, from heart to heart, and God, from spirit to spirit, we share and we thank you today. As we pray, let us make ready to receive today a word that is from heaven. If you're in need of prayer today because you're having to undergo some sickness or possibly just the pressure of life, I want you to know that God is not only prayer hearing, but he is prayer answering, and that he knows and you can place your trust in him. I solicit your prayers today continually for myself and my family. My son, Roz Hirth, has been hospitalized this week. Roz went in and spent some days just to get a tune-up or get a recovery for, I guess, what kind of life brings on at some point, and that is that we just have to get a tune-up in our bodies, and treated him for some dehydration, nothing that is severe or serious, but I guess when it comes to sickness, anytime that we're hospitalized, it is considered serious. It's more than just what is common, but he is out now. Recovery has proven well, and one thing that we did learn, and that is that we have to treat our bodies as though we are stewards over them, and that our bodies require rest, nutrition, and of course, I'm the one who's talking. I too have to take heed to these things, as we all do. But let us pray, and if you are having to endure something that is pressing on your mind, some things that you need to work out in life, I want you to know that God have already gone before you to be the resolve and to give some type of resolution to all of these things that may be problematic. Eternal God, we thank you so much today for so many things. Above all, God, we thank you for the blessedness of your darling son, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, the giver of our very salvation, his shed blood for us. And we thank you today, God, that we have now become the recipients of eternal life, and you have given it unto us, O Lord, our God, through that great emancipator, the one who came to us to become sin for us and then died for us, God, taking all authority over death, and that we might pass from death to life. Thank you so much for such great salvation. We thank you for the grace that comes abundantly with it. And now, O Lord our God, give us a word from heaven today that will feed us. Feed us, O Lord, from your words, that which falls from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. And again, hello and good morning. Today, I'm excited to be here. I missed you all last week. But it's good to be here today. Amen. I'm trying to see exactly what today's date is, because this is the 21st. We're on the 21st. My gosh, this month is moving rapidly. April the 21st. We're almost to, the first quarter of 2024 already. Nevertheless, it's been wonderful. It's been a great year, as every day with the Lord, and as we grow with Him, we're not so given to time restrictions and the time parameters as much as we're given to God's goodness and He revealing Himself to us in life. I think that as we move through life, we are we have the incumbent of so many problems, more socially now than probably ever before. And the reason that we have so many social problems is because during the age of communication and information, what once would take days, even months, to get from one place to the other, to learn of something that was bad or negative, by the time that it reached you, it had happened so long ago. From one coast to another, or from one country to another, the information that was passed about something that was tragic, it would take so long for us to get that information that it didn't grieve us as much. But now, in the society of which we live, the passage of information and communication is transferred so rapidly that with cameras and video and sound and images in real time, we can see and we can hear everything that is going on over the whole colossal globe. My method of knowing which route that I will take daily is done by me taking my cellular device and calling up cameras that have been mounted and installed along Interstate 65. I have four cameras that I can call up on to look at traffic and traffic conditions. I have the camera that is at Bethel Road. I have the camera that is at Parker Road. And I have the camera that is at exit 344, which is Highway 67 and Interstate 65, and then I have the camera that is at Country Club Road and Interstate and State Highway 67. All of these cameras give me real-time information about the condition of traffic. If at any time traffic is congested, I don't have to wait to listen any longer to traffic conditions on the news. I have it right here in my device at hand, real time. If there's an accident, if there is something that is going on in our streets, in our community, we learn instantly. Believe it or not, while this is very convenient and sometimes it seems to be good for us to be in the know of what's going on, you have to realize that it comes with a great price. And that price is that it causes a lot more anxiety. It causes a lot more of pressure on just the human body itself to have privilege to such, especially in negative and troubled times, when news is never something that is good, but it's always something that is bad. And it means now that we are in real time seeing something that is happening bad to someone else. And I wanted to just put that as a premise while I say that the information and communication times that we're in now has a lot to do with what we set up as rules for our own individuality. And let me put it this way. I want to, let me rescind the word individuality. Let me call it our life, my life, your life. And this is what we call it. We say our life. And in our life, because things socially are so quick and at hand, the greatest challenge in life has now become other people. Yes, it has become other people. And because socially we are so in the know about what others are doing, it's popular for us to be drawn to messages and motivational speeches as it relates to us as being people of faith or the child of God, the person of God, the person of faith. It's popular for us now to be drawn to messages, motivational speeches, quotes, and other presentations that cause us to feel good or feel better. When we look at sometimes what is happening wrong to someone else, it makes us feel right in ourselves. Permit me to lay this foundation well now before you draw any conclusions. You see, when the blame or the cause of other, when our own dysfunction is placed on someone else, it causes us to feel better. So this is why now when we take this information that is being passed so rapidly in the form of motivational speeches and quotes and sermons, we really don't get excited until something is said that is wrong with someone else to make us feel better about our own dysfunction. So instead of me taking the responsibility to better myself, I can take what someone else did wrong and never deal with the idea that I need or have the need to repair myself. We seem to always feel better when in the sermon, in the message that I give, that I point out someone else's shortcoming. When I point out what someone else has not done or has not completed in life, it seems to make us feel better because now we can blame them for what we have not done for ourselves. And I think that there is something in fallen human nature, meaning I think that there is something since man's fall in the Garden of Eden. I think that there is something that causes us to love to speak against other people. And I'm going to go to the book of Genesis today for a moment as I pull together and stitch together past messages with this message so that we can get one complete picture. And I'm going to do that today from the book of Genesis. But I want to say that there is something that we just love when we can hear something or see something that's wrong with someone else. In fact, judging others can become like a sport or a hobby. There are people that we follow socially that forever their whole the highlights of their social presentation is always something that speaks down on others. Yeah. Because, and it's like a sport, it's like a hobby. It's like, what can I find today? What can I read that degrades another or speaks down of another? It's like me, maybe it's like a sport. It's like me sitting down at the end of a day with my wife and say, honey, what are we going to do tonight? And Cassie say, let's talk about how bad people are. And I say, yes, that sounds like a good idea. And that's how we spend our evening. We're entertained by engaging in conversation about others. Or it could be like when you get together with your best friends and you look forward to going to work. You look forward to getting up in the morning so that you can start that conversation or that text thread or make that call and have your coffee. It's called the tea. It's called tea. I think that's what it's called, T-E-A. You got to get the tea of the day. And tea is talk about someone else, you know. That somebody needs to find a good acronym for that, you know, telling everything, whatever, some acronym. I just can't come up with nothing that's real catchy right now, but we got to get the tea of the day. And the tea is a sport because you're about to have fun. You're about to build yourself up and set your own self-esteem up based on someone else's faults. All you want to do is to get the tea about what's wrong with someone else. And it's easy to have a continuous stream of critical thoughts. It's easy for us to have, and notice how I said that, it's like a continuous stream that you have of critical thoughts. And you got to know how contagious this is and how it contaminates your very spirit or your very being of saying that you are a person of Christ. When you say that God lives in you, it's contaminating and it's destructive. And it's really not adding to you, it's taking away from you. It's adding wrinkles to your skin. It's taking life out of you when you become critical. I really want you to know this. It's not good for your joints. It's not good for your mobility. It's not good. And I intend to let you know today that it's a good thing for you to know how poisonous this is because while you're doing everything with Botox and every other chemical or whatever you can get that is put together in some lab to make you look younger in real time, not by filter, which is digital, but while you're also using things chemically to make yourself look better and look younger and feel good, that it's not going to work. It's because what you're doing is you're just highlighting the decomposition. You're highlighting the death. You're spotlighting the death. You're just putting the makeup on the corpse. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is that you're just making up the corpse. Naturally, what we need to do is we need to find a way to disenfranchise, and we need to disengage ourselves from finding things continuously wrong with someone else. I think it's safe to say that a very high percentage of our conversations is about what's wrong with other people. Constantly, our thoughts about other families and other groups is running rampant in our minds. And this is really taking out of us. Now, our study from John chapter 4 was the woman who had an encounter with Jesus at the well. When she arrived at the well, she was in a specific condition. socially. She had a condition morally, and she had a condition physically as well. And most of all, she had a condition that was spiritually. So socially, religiously, racially, in every aspect of life, this woman, just things just really weren't good for her. But she was carrying on as life would give. And life for her was rather mundane because we never knew her name. She was just a woman at the well. That's like saying, you know, the man who streams on Sunday mornings. Never Don. Never Don, just the man who streams. So she's just a woman at the well. And we have come to know her in the church circle. Oh, my God. I guess it's okay for me to just say that. We have come to know her in the religious sector. I just can't find where to place that, so I'm just going to let it go. You and I know her as a woman at the well. You know, and we identify her as the woman who had five husbands. Now, that's the tag that she has, the woman that had five husbands. And we have to realize that any time that we see someone in our lives that we want to throw shade or put some bad light over them, is we can always say that she's like the woman that had five husbands. Or I'm like the woman that had five husbands because I've had failed marriages. And in that way, that's the shade or the image that is thrown over them. Now, that would have been good, and that would have worked on me. And it can possibly work on other people that have not been liberated by the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The day that she had that encounter with Jesus, the whole life story was changed. The burdens were lifted, and every chain and bondage was destroyed. Because when she had that encounter with Jesus, she represented, and she was a woman who represented every message that would be preached after that day, is because she is the first one who goes back with this extremely powerful testimony that is compelling and says, come and see a man. Now, I don't know any pastor, preacher, speaker across the land in any time that had a message that was so powerful and so short and so brief that she could go and tell an entire city to come and see a man, and that they all came to Jesus and they believed. The biggest, greatest revival that there has ever been. But this woman carries this message is because Jesus changed everything about her life story. And when she is met with what others had to say about her, she was relieved of that. So the woman at the well and her encounter with Jesus changed the course of being made to feel bad or better, or being a fault finder or judged or blaming others. The woman left her city as a woman who had five husbands. When she made it back to her city after her encounter with Jesus, she is a woman who met the man at the well. So now we know her as someone through Christ. No longer do we know her, hear me clearly, we no longer identify her as a person who has been shadowed by the faults in her life or the choices or the decisions that she made in her life. She is now known as the woman who had an encounter with Jesus. She is a woman who met Jesus at the well. Now we can only see her through Christ. We can see her in Christ. We no longer see her by association of the things that others have had to say about her. Socially, hear what I'm saying now, people. Hear what I'm saying now. hear what I'm saying, that the fruit of her life, the fruit of her life, the decisions that she made, what gave everyone else something to talk about, the things that you do, the decisions that you make, the choices that are made. And I know that you're going to hide behind the idea, I don't care what they say. You do by virtue of you saying you don't care. You're acknowledging that they are saying something. By virtue of you saying, I don't care what people say, acknowledges that you know that people are saying something. And it's easy to fall off the lips to say that you don't care. But realistically so, it affects your next decision. What people are saying affects the choices that you make. I'm going somewhere with this. It is important today that you get where I'm going and you desire to get some revelation from God about what I'm talking about. It's because, again, our drive, the sport now, is that people are going to make your life some spectacle. They're going to make what you do and the decisions that you make, they're going to make that the shade. They're going to make that the talk. That's what's going to be discussed. And we do this from group to group. You know, they say, you know, today, come on here, in our neighborhood, is this racism or is this not racism? Is this police brutality or is this not police brutality? Is this political injustices or is this not political injustices? Everyone is judged. No matter what you do, you're holding a position and you are just damned if you do, and then you're just damned if you don't. No matter which way, you're just damned. You are just an evil person. No matter what decision you make, regardless of what your intentions are, you're still just damned. If I get up and I go, I'm wrong. But then if I don't go, I'm wrong. And people will judge me by not going. And then there are people that are going to judge me because I go. So what should one do? And I'm now under this guise of I married this guy and I don't know what I'm doing. Or if I knew what I was doing, I would have never married him. Or I'm talking to this person. If you knew who she was and you knew her past, you wouldn't have anything to say to her. Or if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't work there because you may make good money, but I'm telling you, that's not where you want to be. So, and this goes on, and I would that I just had time to just lay it out day by day. I want to go to work today, but oh my God, even when we own our own businesses, we permit this age of information, the rapidness and the quickness of reality. Something that we saw about someone yesterday on social media just cause us to be just sluggish when we get up the next day for our own business where we write our own paychecks and we're getting sluggish because of something that we saw about someone else and we feel like we're going to have to encounter them in our next day. God, I really don't want to go to work today because I don't want to see them. I'm not going to miss no money, people, because or the blessings of God. Let me say it that way. Because of something that someone has said negatively about some group or someone else or some society. And I'm not going to become disrespectful because you say that everybody that wears blue. I'm 20 some years in law enforcement and I never wore blue. I wore green when I did wear a uniform, never wore blue. And when I wasn't wearing that, I promoted to where I wore my own clothes anyway. So I'm among those. So how am I going to take what now I have given my life to and my career choice, and I'm going to get glad because people are saying this? I wasn't a bad cop. I wasn't a bad person who enforced the law. And I'm not going to be placed under an umbrella of saying that everyone who enforces the law is a bad person. You have to, let me bring it down to one thing, which is my subject today, and then I'm going to be out of here. And I want you to say this with me, and if y'all are texting inside the chat area, I want you to put this in there and put it for me real good. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words, and I want you to put this in. The fruit is not the problem. The fruit is not the problem. Say it out loud. Say it with me. The fruit is not the problem. The fruit is not the problem. And if I'm the fruit, I am not the problem. If you're the fruit, you are not the problem. If you are of one racial part, you are not the problem. If you are another racial part, you are not the problem. I want to point this out. I want you to get this from the Word of God today. Genesis is where I have something that is devotional for you today in the book of Genesis. Did you all get that good? The fruit is not the problem. We grew up under the impression, and I know that you did. You grew up and you were taught, because I was, and I always seem to have heard. I don't know if what the preacher was saying, but this is what I receive. And that is that I was under the impression that whatever the fruit was that grew from the tree in the center of the Garden of Eden was sort of like a poison fruit. Yes. I don't know whether you did. And if you did, agree with me. And if you still do, agree with me. We think, or we thought, that whatever it was that grew from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a tree that has a fruit that will give the person or empower the person to know or to distinguish the difference between what's good and what is evil. Once they partake of that fruit as though it's a poison fruit, then they're going to know the difference between good and evil. And if you do believe that, that is certainly a theological flaw, as is going to church is a theological flaw, because you can't go to a who. And the church is a who. It is not a where. So it is impossible for you to go to church. You can go to assemble, you can gather, but you cannot go to church. Theological flaw. But if I live my life going somewhere that I can never possibly arrive at, then I've spent my life just mocking time, going somewhere that I'll never arrive, setting a destination that doesn't exist. I don't go to church. I am the church. I am the body of Christ. And if you have said the fruit is poison, it's a theological flaw, because the fruit is in fact not poison. The fruit is not only good, but the fruit is very good. But again, in the information, pass quickly, rapidly, in rapid succession, the bad fruit, the tainted fruit, the evil fruit. Listen to me today as I herald to you a truth. The fruit is not the problem. The fruit is good. The fruit spoke of in the book of Genesis, taken from the tree of knowledge, was as healthy and nourishing as any other fruit in the perfect garden. The fruit was perfect. The fruit was to perfection. It was, in fact, because she couldn't resist it, it was insatiable. It was to be desired. It not only was good, it looked good. The fruit did not possess any poisonous chemical compounds. It had no poisonous composition. It had not received from somewhere other than the hand of God, the Creator, everything that made it not only good, but help me say it, very good. You don't have to take my word for it. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 11, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was created on the third day of creation, on the third day, day one, day two, day three. On the third day of creation, a part of the vegetation that God brought forth from dry land, no moisture. When God created all of this, like other days, he described on the third day that everything that I made in vegetation on this day, not only is it good, but it's perfect, it's holy, it's faultless in every way. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation. I hope you're reading it. Verse number 11, Genesis chapter 1. And then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kind, and it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in it according to their kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the third day. Everything in its seed in itself had a seed. I would that I had time to tell you about this strand of grass that is sterile, that has been made in a lab. And when I'm thinking about buying sod to sod my yard, the guy says, make sure you don't get the sterile seed. A sterile seed, meaning that once it comes to the end of its life, it's not like grass. It doesn't have a seed. It doesn't grow. That's because it didn't come from what God made. It was made in a laboratory. So that's another story, but it's a sermon in that, and I didn't talk to a couple of people about that too. If you want to know, ask me sometime about the seedless grass. God said everything bearing fruit with seed in it. Everything has a seed in it. When God tells Adam, let me stay with this message. When God tells Adam not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he designates that specific tree as a unique tree. You can eat from them all except this one. This is a designated tree with a uniqueness. It's here. It's yours, but the designation is that it is not to be taken as food. He designates eating from it as not good. The fruit is not the problem. The problem comes when you eat from the good tree, the good fruit. You see, he designates the tree as being unique, and it's good. But what's not good is for you to eat from it. He doesn't designate the tree ever as being not good. He does not say that the tree is not good. The disobedience against God's command is what would usher death. When you choose you, not someone else, you, here's my point, and I'm finished. I'm out of here today. When you choose to disobey God, not what I do, not what I've done to you, not what I have to say about you, not what you want to say back to me, but when you make the decision to disobey what God told you to do, nothing's wrong with the fruit. The problem is what you allow yourself to do. Look at Genesis 2, Genesis chapter 2. Verse number 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat. Preach that, somebody. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Preach that, Cassie. Preach that, April. Preach it, Tat. You are free to eat. Y'all better go preach that. You are free to eat. Just that point alone. In context now, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. I'm finished with you. Stop blaming me for your messed up life. Stop, please, for goodness sake. It's not me. It's not myself. Someone's having issues. I'm going to kind of delay a little bit and hope they're able to catch up. See how quick someone let me know I'm preaching and somebody hollered back at me 25 miles from here to let me know they're freezing up. But I'm going to stay right here because y'all are wanting to get this. He never designates. I'm hoping they get a chance to catch up, so I'm going to repeat some stuff because this is pivotal in this message. When he tells him not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree is unique, right? So when he makes me, I'm unique now, and he tells you, don't touch me. Jesus is a man, but he's not available. Yeah, I said that, unquote. He's a man, ladies, but he's not available. He's not a ladies' man. Now, you can go get Peter, James, John, Jude, Thomas, Bartholomew. You can get Thaddeus, and you got a whole other 12 of them that you can choose from, but Jesus is not available. He is not on the market. He is amidst the other men that are there, but he is designated and he is unique. He is not here to take you or to have you. He is not going to be married to you in the flesh, in the natural sense, in your sensuality. Stop saying the grass ain't greener. It's greener, but it's not your grass. And there is nothing wrong with someone else's green grass. Grow your own. Ask God to water your grass. Ask God to let the sun shine on your grass. And stop damning other people's grass. Stop having so much to say about what others are doing. And get obedient to God yourself. Genesis 2 and verses 6 and 17 said, the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any of the trees in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you do eat it, you're going to die. Now, that's what I want you to go and preach to anybody else, Adam. You are responsible for letting people know that don't eat from that good tree. Well, if it's good, why don't you eat from it? Because we've been told not to. So what does Satan do? He does what he do best. Woman is not the weaker vessel. She is the accessible vessel. Preach, Don. She ain't the weaker vessel. If you ask me which one was the weaker one, then you probably don't want to know what I had to say. But I'm going to tell you anyway. The weaker one is the one who has been told and knows, but permits someone else who was not directly told to convince them or influence them to do something that they have been told not to do. She ain't weaker. She's accessible. I have told my wife, time after time again, when they confront me in person, they will come against the forces of my ability to denounce the threats that they use against me. So for the most part, they will not come to my face and tell me how they feel. They will not come to me and express their true feelings about me, but they will find an accessible source. And you being my wife, which is a part of me, is the most accessible source that someone could ever find. Preach, Don. So when they can't get to me, then they will go not to the weaker part, but they will go to the part that they find accessible. And I have taught those that are around me who wanted to look at me as the man of God. If you really respected me for who I am, or who you say that I am, or who you respect for me to be, then you need to shut your ear gate to all of the stuff and the mess that you're going to hear. And as long as the Lord tells you to listen and you to hear, then you hear. Don't be influenced by others that become accessible sources. It's not even allowed in court. It's called hearsay. Preach, Don. You're upset. You're mad right now. You are unforgiven. You're sitting up there like a dried up prune. You're sitting up there like a can of kraut. You're sitting up there hopeless and in melancholy because of a bunch of stuff that somebody has carried down through the last 10 or 12 generations about something that was said to somebody that you call your blood, but you never met and you don't know and ain't been no test anyway, so you might not even be theirs. I'm picking now. And you still upset and torn apart over that. I am liberated. I'm like Miles now. April sent me a video last night. My name is Don. Hearth is my slave name. Don's my name. That's what my mom gave me. He gave me Hearth off of a boat. And you're not going to attach me to something, but yet I've changed that course of that too. And I tell my boys now, we do that Hearth riding. So I'm preaching here. But you've got to be able to take control of what God told you. God told Adam, the day that you eat, you're going to die. So finally, Satan finds him an accessible source to eat from the fruit. But she did what she was supposed to do. She brought it to him. Now, men, stop pushing it over and talk about they ain't loyal. And you know where? You read in between the line. You talking about they ain't loyal. You ain't disciplined. Preach, Don. It ain't that they ain't loyal because they brought it to you. You, with your silly self, ain't disciplined. Because I don't care how fine the girl is, and the girl is yours. If God told you to do something, you need to tell the girl what God said. She will respect you more for you declaring a truth than she will for you giving in. Because when you give in to what she say, she loses all respect for you, because how can you protect her and you don't have two legs to stand on? Preach, Don. He had to find a way to get in on God's business. So what Satan does is he finds an accessible source. What's happening in Decatur has become one of the most popular social media threads in every city in America. What's happening in Phoenix? What's happening in Atlanta? What's happening in Decatur? What's happening in Huntsville? What's happening in here? And this mess that we got, what's happening in Decatur, is the biggest bunch of mess I ever seen in my life. But everybody subscribes to it. Not everybody, but many subscribe to it. That's their daily bread. What's happening in Decatur? They get up on what's happening in Decatur, where the mess is, what someone else is doing. That's their daily bread. And you don't think that that stuff is taking marrow out of your bones. You don't think that that stuff is taking good synapse from dendrites in your brain cells. That's what fire from one brain contact to another, synapse, the dendrites, the sparks, baby. It's cutting back on the sparks of you just by you going to what's happening in Decatur day by day. It would be good if you had some kind of defense mechanism, but you don't even have a defense mechanism. You actually let that stuff soak in. It's worse than fentanyl. It gets all down in your Shonda. It gets down in your spiritual sense, and it just messes you up. Now, when the police pull you over because you were doing 80 miles an hour, you want to be on the defense when they roll up to your window after you were going 80 in a 40 and want to feel like they pulled you over because you were black. That's some foolish mess. They profiling you because you doing 80 in a 40. Huh? You know that the light was yellow when you turned and you did something. Or are they doing this? Or on a night that they come in and nothing comes in there in the store and be reckless on a night that we're having a social night, but some young unsupervised black kids that want to come into Don's Mercantile and just run stuff off the shelves and knock stuff down. They were not white kids. They were black kids. And I, who came up in the time that I came up, when I heard it, I hollered and I said, hey, and I said, get out. Remove yourselves from this place of business. You come back in here with two things, sense, S-E-N-S-E, and sense, C-E-N-T-S. Come back with some sense and some money, and you are welcome. I'm going to help you, and I don't have to fight you, but I'm going to deal with you right where you are. I'm going to hold my designation as a man, a black man, a dad, a husband, and a responsible leader in this community. The fruit was good. Everything that God creates is good. The people that you are talking about, the people that you can't get along with, I'm finished now, they're good people. You just don't like to work with them. But what I need you to evaluate today is the problem that they have a problem with you because of what somebody said about you, or you got a problem with them because of what somebody told you about them. And you can't get along because we don't have enough sense to get past about with what's been said about one or the other and use the goodness that God gave you one to the other. Adam and Eve, y'all got to work this thing out. Preach, Don. God gave you all. This is the last thing that I said in my message last week. God places people in this world to be a blessing to me. Now I'm going to make everybody an enemy. I'm going to make it as though everybody is out to get me. I'm going to make it as that nobody likes me. Do you realize that the revenue that comes into my hands, the blessings and the finance that comes my way, the blessings that overtake me, they come to me through people that God used. But if I've got a defense up against everybody, how are the blessings of God going to ever make its way to me? We want the rain to fall, but we don't want to get wet. We want God to shower down, but we are holding up the umbrella. The blessings of God cannot overtake us because we're too busy dodging them, because we're letting this simple, stupid stuff just block us from our blessings. It ain't people blocking your blessings. You're blocking your own blessings. The reason that you're lacking, the reason that you're poor, the reason that you're in poverty is not because you've chosen to be that way. The problem is that you will not resolve yourself to the designation that you've got to do what God tells you to do. Sometimes Christians fall into this trap that the fruit is the problem. And that's all I wanted to tell y'all today, and I'm out of here. I'm finished now. It's 12:33. Call somebody and tell them the fruit ain't the problem. It's easy for leaders now to get up and preach you a sermon and make your neighbor your problem, and you don't see that they're pitting you together in this place that y'all calling the church, and they're pitting y'all against one another so that they can be the mediator. They want to be the one to come to your rescue, so it's easy for them to create the scenario that y'all ain't getting along. So I've got to be there, so now I'm like the one who comes in the night in shining armor saving the day. I'd rather y'all be at home sitting in y'all pajamas and house shoes, loving on God and getting a good message, and to come in here and can't look at each other and can't speak to each other, come in here and got things and problems. When y'all come together, y'all going to be glad to see each other. I promise you. It's very important that we get it clear about what's good and what's evil. What's evil is for you. to not be obedient to God. Adam and Eve got to work this thing out. See how it ends up? This woman you gave me. Now, you're the one who gave her the name. Adam, you call her Eve. Now, who is she? That woman. Man, whew, I need y'all in here now. I feel like going in. I feel like coming in hard, too. I want to go in, and I want to go in hard. So that woman, you know what I mean? If we don't, I hope y'all hear me today. When it gets to the point that you got to say that man, and I'm your brother, and I've been your brother until that point, now it's that man. That man that they say is my brother, or that woman that they say is my sister, or that man that they say is my husband. And you got other people talking down the man that you prayed and you said God gave you. Now you got other people looking at him side-eyed. I'm going to tell you something. You go ahead. At least for these last 50 years, you ain't had to sleep with one eye open. Or you ain't been married that long. Last 7 or 8 years. Because these now, you don't know whether you're going to wake up on the other side or not. I'm finished now. Believing, we believe that so many things that God gave as good, money is not sinful, people. I'll show you in the book of Proverbs where it says money answereth all things. Huh? It answereth all things. You've got to believe that God made it to be good, but you cannot allow it to take control over you or the world that is around you. Money is nebulous. It's not what money is, it's what you do with it. When is the last time you gave some? When is the last time that you gave some expecting nothing back? You've been in this ministry for a long time. Have you thought that, oh, well, if I tip when I get a lemon drop, or if I tip when I get a Long Island iced tea, or if I tip when I get a glass of wine, then maybe I ought to give a little bit here since it's been giving so much. When is the last time you gave? Oh, no, the church don't need no money. God taking care of the church. God taking care. Don got a nice truck. Don got a nice store. I'm not going to give to him. The people that you go to work for got a whole lot of money. You go to work for them every day. You put in and they give you a little bit back for all of that work that you put in. But then you look at me and God going to take care of me. Huh? You ain't got to worry about whether, well, we don't go to church. We don't have to give no money no more. I hope y'all hear me. And if you don't, tell somebody what I said. But you still see me down here. And for the last 22 years, I never asked you for a salary. Ain't nothing wrong with money, but because you don't give it don't mean that I'm not going to get it. It's because if we seek God first in his kingdom, all of these things are going to be added unto you. But if you miss that opportunity, then that's on you. Sex is a gift from God. Sex is not sinful. Irresponsibility is what's sinful. Selfishly using it, unfettered pleasure. That's the sinful nature, for you to look at something and know that it's not yours. When you make it perverse, children, you're the one who make this. Fruit is not the problem, people. Ephesians 5:3 says, but among you, there must be not be one hint of sexual immorality. That's what it says. Not sex. He says immorality. And I'm finished. The fruit is not the problem. It's you. And the people that are around you, I want you to take what they have brought you to, and the times that they brought you to. Oh, I don't have no cell phone. I don't do it. Oh, you got some way that you talk to them people that you talk about other people. I don't know what medium you use. It may be your cell phone, may be your front porch. It may be your shade tree. But wherever it is that you take the time to spend and bring into yourself and your body and your mind depression, anxiety. It's done. Those days are done. And God have let me live long enough to come to this place where I say, Lord, I will seek your face. And God, I will set underneath your counsel, and you will order my path. Just because you do something a long time doesn't mean that it's right. It simply means that you need to stay in relationship and in communication with the Holy Spirit of God so that he can order you, not hold God to edits of old. This way we did it for all these times is good enough for me. We need to give ourselves very, very, with great sensitivity, and make sure that it's with a huge amount of sensitivity, ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Give yourself to the Holy Spirit so that he will direct your path. Remember what I told you about the woman who went back to the city, told all of the people in the city about Jesus. They say, we don't have to believe because of what you said. We will go and see this man for ourselves. And the Bible says that many of them believed. And I say, if they believed, how could they believe on him and he had not yet died and risen to all power? That is because belief is good, but the Holy Spirit brings life. Hallelujah. I love you, and I hope to see you again next week. God bless you. If you're in the Decatur area, meet me down at 119 2nd Avenue. This is my own commercial, Don's Mercantile. It's a little cold today, so it's not a good day for ice cream, is it? So I'm not going to ask you to come down. But if you ever decide to come too, I love my podium down there. Lots of good messages come across. And if you come down, I'll have a good message for you. I love you, and God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you again next week.